This is Thomas with 3-7 Ventures. I want to invite you to the fight against human trafficking. Join this fight alongside our friends at Fight Coffee, an organization that puts 100% of its profits into stopping the traffic of human beings. Join the fight by joining them. Order your coffee from Fight Coffee. Go to fightcoffee.org now.
Welcome to the 3-7 Podcast, brought to you by 3-7 Consulting. This is a show where you'll hear conversations about business, strategic alliance and partnership management, leadership growth, and more. Specifically, you'll get three takeaways from our three hosts every 7 days. Thanks for listening.
Our topic today is the first of a three-part series on moving from commitment to completion. And this is something that we have been in the place of living out every day. I think there's a bunch of conviction for us as a team. If you are a leader in the space of alliances and partnerships, this is going to feel directly applicable to you. But listen, these principles, what we're going to talk about today, specifically around leading through obstacles, this is going to be 100% applicable. All of us, as we are going down the path, are in a place where we have to deal with these challenges that we're going to talk about today. And so I've been thinking about this. I was actually thinking about on my mountain bike this morning and just reflecting in my mind the clients, the conversations that we've had, the board level discussions, really this idea of we've invested in partnerships. We tried this. It didn't go the way that we thought it was going to go. Or sometimes like we can't be successful as we go down this path. And realizing that I actually think in this world, this is my hot take. I'm going to ask you your perspective. But my hot take is that I actually think that in this world of partnerships, that leadership is actually more important than persuasion. And so, I can't tell you the number of times that, we have seen a resource put in place. That resource is, the bestseller. I'm going to give you my best guy who's going to go take this and drive this. Or we as 3-7 have come in to a client, we build a sales plan, we work through the process, here's the plan, we put something in point to execute. And then in either scenario, we look up and say, man, why isn't the train on the track in the way that we thought that it was going to go?
We hear a lot of times people talk about how trust is central to partnership, So obviously there's an alignment between that idea of trust and leadership and potentially a conflict between trust and persuasion. But the reason for that is persuasion means that I have to know where I'm headed and I have to know what it looks like. So if I have a proposal for you, Eric, and I want to partner in a certain way, there's an element of persuasion there, right? Like, let me help you understand my perspective and why that's best for you. But when I just know that what you're doing and what I'm doing, they go well together and there's an opportunity for partnership here and let's press through and figure out what that is, that's a leadership conversation, right? Like, why should we press through the uncertainty? Why should we spend the time to figure out what that model looks like? That's a trust relationship and that takes leadership to figure it out and hash it out. And we see that right now. We have a specific client where they're going out on a limb with another partner with the trust that there is a great opportunity for partnership. And so they're investing and they agreed to participate in a demonstration and they're building an application to come together and really show the value of how those two businesses come together. But that could break up pretty quickly if people started saying, what are we going to get on the other side of this? Or what's the revenue model going to look like exactly when we're done? But because there's a trust and because leaders are coming to the table saying, we know that it's there, let's see it through and let's see what we end up with. That's going to lead to a powerful partnership that would have never started if everything had to be planned out before they started.
Right, right. And we may have seen those things be an obstacle in other clients, maybe just once or twice.
Potentially. I love this contrast because you think of persuasion and you think of your seller who can, pick up an opportunity and throw it on their back and take it through maybe a semi-defined process that they semi-follow and bring this opportunity to bear and sell it for the organization. And that is persuasion and it is skill and it is art and it's mastery when done well. But leadership, throws out this responsibility to keep the focus on probably a complex goal that has a lot of different paths and ways that it can get there. And I mean, we see this in our business. I think it's part of like the fundamental reason why 3-7 exists is that we talk about there being a faster way or a more direct way. But I think that's the fundamental of leadership that's so aspiring in the partnership world is that while persuasion can take a singular event or a singular goal a long, long ways, leadership in keeping the minds and the effort in the complex organization pointed in a goal and bringing it back on track and bringing it back to the straight line often and with clarity is really, you know, unique in this space, and it's where the great leaders shine.
Yeah, I'm always just surprised how easy it is for the train to get off the tracks. And, you know, I had to kind of like pause and reflect on it. I mean, I think it comes from this idea that when you're doing something from a business development perspective, you know, it's an idea a lot of times. It's a vision, a hope, it's an aspiration. You know, usually you have two people that are across the table shaking hands saying, hey, we want to go get this thing done. But the reality is that going down that path, that exploration path, has a lot of walls. And so if you're somebody that hits the wall and stops, the idea dies, right? The hope, the dream, the vision, you know, all those things don't move forward.
Yeah, it makes me think of, we refer to this BCG study that centers on transformation, and that it talks about an organization's ability to transform at the end of the day has some real key components to it in order to predict success. In partnerships, we know that a partnership is this idea, and it pins on the idea that we can transform. We can transform, you know, the market that we're going to have access to, or we can transform our sales velocity, or we can transform our capability and, you know, in capacity. But leaders who, in that study calls out and says, you know, the leaders who can use communication and commit to communication and governance during that transformation, that they can land that change. And that it's a 90% higher likelihood when a leader can carry change and communication with them through a transformation effectively for a team, that the team's going to make the turn.
Emily, your tying that train analogy to the communication was really, it just played on what was rolling through my head as we talk about trains going off the track so easily. And I was just reminded that so often what happens is the engine in the front, it's powering forward, but it's the trains behind that are coming off the tracks, right? And it reminded me of that game of telephone mm-hmm. where you try and whisper the note to the person after you. And then by the time you get to the back of the train or the end of the telephone line, it's a totally different message. It just feels like without the communication, the governance in place, right? Without everyone having mind share on what that original vision was and where the engine's going, that's one of the reasons the trains in the back are falling off the tracks, because they're not knowing where to turn and they're not knowing why.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Part of what becomes really important is making sure, as we think through that, as you think through, you know, what is it that you're going to communicate? And, you know, as you think through, how are you going to put governance in place? We should probably define governance. But, you know, this idea of making sure that you're coming in with the right set of expectations and having clarity around what's that going to look like for the role. And we tend to want to address, you know, hot topics and challenges when they come up, when we have an escalation, instead of anticipating and trying to move forward with more of kind of a learning type of methodology, knowing that we're going to walk through that process and those things are going to come up and they're going to have to be addressed for things to move forward.
You know, we've seen some great leaders, and we've been able to work with some great leaders in the partner community, approach partnerships and, you know, that balance, Eric, that you're calling out, at the forward of it, or the reboot, or the management of a partnership, they keep bringing their team back to, hey, we modeled this partnership to deliver this value proposition. And these are the gives and the gets that we laid out around this partnership. And when sensing friction, or when sensing that things aren't working, we see the greats come back to that model, or, you know, that understanding of, hey, how we structured this partnership and what we thought was going to become true out of this. And in coming back to, were our assumptions wrong, our outcomes wrong, or have we gotten off track?
I can tell we've been working together for a while because you're starting to sound a lot like Chris.
Uh-oh. The former engineers may take over yet.
I think more than one time Chris has said, why are we doing all this stuff over here? Is it going to matter at the end of the day?
Well, right. And if you bring it back to this topic of leadership, right, that's where we have to show up as leaders, right? Why does it matter? Because it's not an either or. It's not we just talk about the impact that we want to make and we don't worry about the task management. But we know we certainly can't just lay out a plan and let people follow it, because that's when the train gets off the tracks and people don't know where they're headed, right? And so we talk a lot about, you know, measure the impact, not the activities. And that's where it comes to. It's up to the leaders to define the impact they're going to make in the terms that make sense and resonate with each of the people that need to take action. You know, one of the things that we see often is while there's a very clear vision for success for the business, there's a very clear model for how the revenue is going to show up and where the bookings are going to be and who's going to do what. By the time it gets into the individual contributors' hands, it's less clear why it matters. And they have so many options to choose from, especially if we're talking about sales, right? If you're putting one thing in their bag and they've got 19 other things to choose from, how are you securing the mind share so that that thing matters?
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We tend to think about partnership as, you know, a deal that gets signed and then you move on. And Emily probably give your take on how it's different in a minute, but it's so often, you know, it's a handshake, it's a commitment at the beginning, but that commitment only matters if that goes across the organization. And so Chris, to your point, you know, it's almost you're committing to have a partner obsessed culture. Mm-hmm. If you want to move down that path, you know, that's not something that just one person signing one deal is going to embody. That's something that everybody in the company is going to have to center around in order to get the most out of that commitment.
Yeah. The more clients we work with, the broader our touch becomes, the more I realize that the inking of a partnership, that is when the partnership came into the sales funnel. Like it has come in as a prospect and you have secured a first very shallow level commitment as to this idea makes sense. And it's pretty easy for us to sign an NDA and to sign up for a partner program and do all kinds of rigmarole until we get a commitment. And seeing partner programs that really, you know, take shape and start to generate revenue and start to generate success on both sides of the fence, we're looking at a partnership as being the top level of the funnel and then building our activities toward the end of the prize of how are we going to actualize this thing together? And keeping on that track is where we really make a difference.
So let's talk for a minute just about when the train gets off the tracks. Emily, you've had a couple of examples. You've lived this. I mean, I was on the other side of some of these things, but you've had a few times where partnership came off the tracks, and maybe you wouldn't mind sharing a little bit of insight in terms of what that looked like. And then, you know, how did you think about, or what was required from a leadership perspective just to get anchored again and get things moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go for a real fun one where Eric, you and I both ended up like, I don't know, off the trestle, is that the right word? In the sink with pirates circling, it felt like. You know, we had the opportunity to learn, have a major leadership learning together. When I was a partner, you were managing our partner portfolio, or the portfolio we were part of for a big ecosystem player. And we were leveraging programs and we were pretty mature in this, right? You know, we'd been growing this business together. And as a partner, we were leveraging programs in a way that we thought was exactly what we were supposed to be doing. And you know what? It started exactly the way we were supposed to be doing it. And then we took our company version of it and we kept on, you know, running on the tilt-a-wheel just far afield enough that we were running it many, 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 many times over. And it got a little bit away from us to the point where this program had funding attached, where I got a call from my friend Eric saying, hey, you know, that path that you've been running, you too far afield, and we're going to claw back some of that funding. And
wait, the phone call did not come from me. I did not ask for the money back. Let's be really, really clear.
But
There was some other crazies.
But, you know, it was the lesson there was, thank goodness we were a bit mature in this partnership, and we had used our communication and we'd used governance to communicate across our organization. Finance, why is this important to us? Sellers, why is this partnership important to us? Our delivery team, why is this important to us? Even HR, why is this important to our vision as a company and our employee experience? And so instead of going to my executive team and saying, you know, the baby's out of the water, we could say, okay, you know, how do we configure around this? How do we reconfigure ourselves around this? How do we shift our position? And what can we come to our partner with as a midway? You know, where could we possibly meet in the middle? So we could prepare for that. And that was because we'd been leading with governance in mind, with communication in mind, and keeping our eye on that big ball, on the big goal of the partnership. But that one, you know, you've got a separate, so you've got your side of that experience, which I think is very interesting too. But that one was certainly a place where, given the chance to get off the tracks, we could have gone, you know, gone, not a train anymore.
Yeah, I love your version because it's very like accountable for what I thought was something that was pretty crazy. My perspective is, you know, the company I work for just woke up and changed its mind one day on the how they enforced the rules or how they enforced the gray. And, you know, that, unfortunately, that stuff happens. That in this world of business development, it's not uncommon to, you know, get text or a phone call in the middle of the morning that, hey, partnership is completely off the rails. And if you work for a big company, that happens from your biggest executives. And it's easy in those moments to let that disrupt the momentum that's there versus anticipating that things are going to blow up and it's going to require sometimes those really, really hard conversations. You know, what are our values? What is important? How do we need to think about driving the things that we need to do at scale? And so the company that I worked through, that it required getting all of the executives in a room together and having some of those really, really hard conversations around, you know, what's acceptable or not acceptable. And I wish that was a one-time thing. I wish that was the state of every partnership. But I think the reality is that just like both of us were working on opposite sides to make the partnership work, that, you know, as we think about true partnerships that sustain and have success, the more leadership that you have, the more people that are willing to have the hard conversation, to say that's not acceptable, to say we need to grow, to say we need to be better, the more people that are willing to step into that space or just to claim, hey, this isn't going to work, the more likely that partnership's going to endure and find success in the long term. So, sounds like my hot take is not so controversial. I'm going to find a more conflicted hot take when we go to do our next podcast. So maybe instead of bringing this to a close around the hot take, maybe we'll just end with our key takeaways.
You know, I think mine is, if this discussion has caused it to me, is to look at, in the clients that we're working with, those leaders or those aspiring managers or those aspiring individual contributors who've come from a selling background, to like, how do we harness that voice of persuasion, but make sure that we're channeling it toward the bigger goal of completion of the partnership. So for my takeaway is like to go practice on that, to go get better on that and go get better on teaching and learning that.
Yeah. And I mean, look, we've built the whole practice around what it takes to drive the transformation, to build the governance, to get a mature partner practice. But, you know, for anyone that's just going through that right now, I'd really challenge people to think about two things. You know, one is, how are you securing the mindshare, you know, the prioritization of all this key stakeholders, everyone that has to take action in that partnership? And then two, how are you getting alignment across the business on what defines success so that everyone has the time, the patience to see the plan through? Because if you're not talking up front about what success is going to look like at each step along the way, you're not going to have the time to get there.
I think just building on that, for me, it's just a recognition that as you want to go do business development, leadership and learning culture are key ingredients. And so you can't kid yourself that everything's going to be straightforward, that you're going to fill out a form on a partner site, all of a sudden leads are going to pop into your inbox. That's not reality. Reality is that you can achieve amazing things through partnership, amazing scale through partnership. But going down that path requires knowing that there's going to be challenges along the way. And the truly great partner leaders are the ones that can move through those challenges to find success. So with that, I think that brings us to a wrap for today. If you like what you hear, we encourage you to share what you see on LinkedIn. We encourage you to leave a review on our podcast for us. And we're looking forward to seeing you in the future.
Thank you for listening to the 3-7 Podcast, brought to you by 3-7 Consulting. If you haven't already, be sure to subscribe so you don't miss another episode. And we'd love to connect. Give us a follow on LinkedIn and learn more about what we do at 37consulting.com. That's the number 3, SEVEN consulting.com. We'll see you next time.